I appreciate that. Appreciate your heart and ministry here, and Caitlin and Miles, and thank you to the elders for having me and the church. Thank you for your support and your prayers, your prayer support for this ministry and for my travels even. My wife would want me to say thank you if you ever pray for my travels, and some of you may do that. I appreciate it. I was on the way here and going down divided highway, and someone was coming at me head on, going the wrong way. And I'm thankful it was before I got on the, it was right before I got on I-35 in Hillsboro. I was never so grateful for a 50 mile per hour speed zone. And I started honking and, you know, swerving a little bit to get out of their way. And hey, here I am. I got here. So, yeah, it's good when there's some good news. And I'm grateful that I can share some things, even if I have to wind my way to get here sometimes. I'm grateful to be here and want to start out with letting you hear from our European team. You don't get to hear from the other side of the pond very often, so our video that we have this year is going to let you just hear from them for just a couple of minutes, and then I'll start again.
When everything around us feels uncertain, we can return to what we know is true.
That's our vice president.
We can recall to mind who God is. His mercy never ends. His compassion never fails. His goodness meets those who seek Him.
I've been in a season of lament for the past several years, to be honest. What I call to mind is that God can handle all of me, all of my reactions in every season. My emotions aren't too big or too much for God. God is able, abiding, consistent, and remains regardless of what chaos is brewing around me.
Why do we think it's important, or why do we know it's important for people to have the Bible in their heart language? We know that people need the Bible in many languages, their heart language, their mother tongue, and this is what we seek to provide to churches, schools, and many organizations.
EEM's mission to provide access to the Bible in people's heart language is essential because it gives them a direct encounter with God's love in the most personal way. The Bible is not just a book. It is a lifeline, a love letter from father to his children. In times of suffering and chaos, people need more than second-hand hope. They need the living word that speaks directly to their heart.
From September 1st through December 31st, join us in raising over $5.5 million to provide more than a million Bibles and Bible-based materials through this year's Hopes campaign. With each gifted Bible, you're helping to give over a million people a chance to encounter God's faithfulness and find an invitation to eternal life in Jesus.
With each gifted Bible, you're helping to give over a million people a chance to encounter God's faithfulness and find an invitation to eternal life in Jesus. With every copy of the gospel, more children, families, and entire nations will be able to call to mind the greatest truth of all, that Christ is near and hope is real and available to them in any circumstance. Join us today.
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 The Bible.
We want everyone to get it.
Well, thank you very much. That's something that you'll be able to participate in as you look toward and pray toward your giving toward this for this year. So thank you very much for helping with that. The Bible, we want everyone to get it. For those who didn't get to hear this before, I'll just share a few things with you very quickly. We do try to fulfill what God calls people to do, and we base that on what He says He will do. And so as part of his mission to get his word to people, God said through his prophet Isaiah, "My word that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty or void, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." And so that's why we believe in sending the word of God, giving the word of God to people in their heart language. Last year, the total of number of people who got the gospel in their heart language, the total number of people who got a prayer answered, was over 2 million. And so we're very thankful for that. Thank you for helping that be possible. These are for the people who were able to get the Bible last year. And so this is just for those who weren't able to hear this earlier. And I'll go from that on into this. Because as you were talking about animals and the news, and I do think if I was an animal, I'd be an orangutan, you know, right turn Clyde, every which way but loose, Clint Eastwood. That goes way back. I think I'd probably be a camel, Ahab the Arab, you know, Ray Stevens. But, you know, it'd be something. But as far as the news, that's a better topic. The news, I do think that when I'm able to come to give you news, it is like this proverb, Proverbs 25:25. And I love this because it says, like cold water to a thirsty soul. And I think in Texas, we can understand that one. Like cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a distant land or a far country. And that is what I'm able to tell you about. Some good news. Now, it may be in the midst of bad news all around the people who are getting the good news, but it's still good news they're getting and good news I'm able to give because of their reception of the good news. And so that is very appropriate. This picture will come back around, by the way. You see the picture in the background there. I'll tell you more about that good news here in just a bit. But I want to begin by just letting you know that Bibles are still getting even to Ukraine. There are people sometimes giving them to students in basements where their schools are meeting. And sometimes if their circumstances are a little better, they're able to meet normally. But we even got a note from a librarian, from a school that said their part of their school had been destroyed, their library had been destroyed, and they were writing us to ask if when they rebuild, will we help them with Bibles again? And so this is the heart of these resilient, persevering people and prayerful people. They are hoping and praying toward surviving and rebuilding. We don't know what's going to happen, but we keep praying for peaceful skies in Ukraine. Please keep praying for them. But in the midst of that, our top two languages last year were Russian and Ukrainian out of 32 languages. And so children are still getting Bibles, and others are still getting Bibles. For instance, we had this story. People are in need of hope and truth and spiritual support. People were filled with joy in the New Testaments being given. Children with coloring books that have Bible verses in them. Mothers hold in their hands the books, Christian Home and Help for Children of War. Grandmothers ask for brochures about the church and baptism. These are some things that are good news from distant land where people are experiencing bad news, but they are also getting good news. And this is what God does. This is what He does through this ministry. We also heard this story last year, and it's in our current newsletter. If you want to pick up one of our newsletters on the way out the door, or a prayer guide or anything else that's on the table there. But they came across a family that had lost their home, had been destroyed, and they lost their lives in the home that had been hit. They found some dinosaur toys. I saw the dinosaurs in another picture. You know, little toys for children. And they also found this EEM Bible. And so the man who was writing this story, and you can read it in the newsletter, said they found this Bible, a Bible that could have been read in the quiet of the morning or maybe at night, a Bible that has verses like John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. but I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place I'm going. And they say, of course, you remember John 14, Lord, we don't know the way. How do we know? Where are you going? We don't know the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so if we want to come to the Father, all of us, including that family, can get prepared now for the day when we will cross over. And so is it bad news? Well, it is a place where there are bad things happening, but the good news is there are people who are reading Bibles and they're able to get prepared in case this happens to them. And so, for those surviving, for those who are trying to do more than survive and trying to start thriving, they are able to get the Word of God and start their journey with God. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, the seed is the Word of God. And so, with all the different types of soil, we try to scatter the seed, and then God will do what God does with His Word. He will give increase. And I want to tell you that this is not just something for other people, okay? Now, I know that we're talking about other people in distant lands, but this is also good news for you and for me, because right here, if we will engage this Bible, God is going to be at work in our lives. Matter of fact, this Bible, the Center for Distance, not Center for Distance Education, sorry, I teach for the Center for Distance Education for Harding, and so I kind of get that in my mind. I do some adjunct work for them. But the Center for Bible Engagement does this study, and they were trying to see what makes a difference. If people will read the Bible, what will actually make a difference in their lives? And they found it's the power of four. That if you will read the Bible four times between Sunday morning to Saturday night, all kinds of things will happen. They studied thousands of people, and they found that loneliness goes down 30%, bitterness 40%, fear and anxiety 14%, anger goes down 32%. And they said if you only read the Bible one time from Sunday to Saturday, it doesn't make a blip. You know, it doesn't really move anything. You read it twice, it doesn't really change the statistics very much. Three times, it starts to change some things, but seems like four times. If you read it, engage it four times, then it just starts changing some things about you and helps you with your decisions, helps you with your emotional well-being, and all these other things. And so these are some other things that I want to show you before I move on from that, just to show you that the Word of God is not just powerful somewhere else for someone else. The Word of God is powerful for you and for me and for all the people in this area. We need this. And so 407% increase in scripture memorization if you read the Bible four times in a week. Now, I'll tell you, there have been passages I didn't even try to memorize, but because I read them again and again, they just started creeping up on me. They snuck up on me, and all of a sudden I knew how those verses went. And so you'll find this too, that if you read it often enough, God starts, well, it's like He hides it in your heart, you know? Your Word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Your Word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. There's all kinds of verses that start helping you with your life. Bible engagement also correlates with higher rates of sharing your faith. You know, my whole life I've heard people say, well, things like this. I've heard people say, I would share my faith, but I just don't know enough. You ever said that? You ever thought that? I just don't know enough. Forget the fact that you know a lot more than a lot of people out there on the street who haven't touched it, haven't opened it, haven't read it, haven't had the opportunities you've had. But how much more comfortable and confident would you feel if you were reading it four or more times during a week, even if it's just one chapter or just a few verses? If you're engaging, you're going to learn, you're going to grow, and you'll feel more like you could share that with someone. Maybe easier for you to do that. And so this is part of the good news. But I also want to ask you that as you're reading the Bible and you're finding things like Colossians, I want to point you to Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3. And I want to ask you not only to pray for other people in other places. Certainly, I want you to do that, but I also want you to see that as this word works on us, we see that we need to be people of prayer. We're drawn into or pulled into the orbit of the prayerfulness of the early church and of Jesus himself. And we start seeing these people were driven by prayer. They were driven to their knees and then they would pray. But they were people who would pray. And so I want to ask you to pray for our work specifically, just using Paul's words here. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. And so this is a very serious thing, but it's something that does require much prayer. Please do be praying for us. I'll show you one result of prayer. Some of you, no doubt, used to pray. I was in Sopron, sorry, my voice is giving out a little bit. I was in Sopron, Hungary earlier this year. And I was there at this border. And some of you may remember when there was an iron curtain. Those of you who are older remember when there was an iron curtain and Berlin Wall and things that separated people from God and from the Word of God. There were atheists, communists, who were saying no to the West. This woman, Kathy, was telling us, she and her husband, Rico, they helped get Bibles to people. She was telling us about being a child. You know, I was just thinking about this with the children up here and how they are learning things and singing and praying. Well, she was in school. She said, I remember when I was a child, the atheistic songs they taught us in school. And she started singing a couple of songs. She rattled off a couple of communist, atheistic songs they taught the children. She, all these years later, still remembers those melodies and the words because they drilled it into them. And what you teach a child can be remembered throughout their lives sometimes. So what you're doing here is good to teach children, but there had to be some unlearning going on, some rewiring going on. She had to have a reboot. And thankfully, God did get through to her. But she said, at this place in Sopron, Hungary, where the Iron Curtain started to fall in the summer of 89, that's where it started, with people getting through the borders and going on in past the communist barriers. And they weren't shot. They let them go through, and then it just continued from there. But she said, I remember when I was, let me just show you a little bit about some of the pictures from when they cut that and people started going through. She said, those of us who were not free, we know what it's like to not have freedom. And so that's one reason they're so grateful they can get Bibles freely to people now. She said, she was telling me this story. She said, I remember when I was about five years old, a little girl riding my bicycle, and I was a little too close to the border. And all of a sudden, a communist guard jumped out of some bushes with a rifle and asked me what I'm doing and told me to get away from there. And so when she says that she knows what it's like to not be free, she means it. But what she and her husband do, here's what they do for a living. To make money, they are seed sellers. Okay, you know, I showed you the seed is the word of God. Well, for a living, they develop lines of seed and sell them through third parties. Seeds you put in the ground and grow. And so that's what they do for money. But because they know all about distribution and their seed selling business and their connections, they're able to save money for EEM with their passion. And their passion is getting the seed of the Word of God to people. And so they personally helped over 10,000 Bibles get to people in their nation. And so they even do Bible memorization workshops. Well, actually, they don't call them Bible memorization workshops. They're memory workshops, but they'll use the Bible to help people learn to memorize things. And she said that they will show the people who are there at the memory workshop. They'll say, see, we've been reading, we've been memorizing this. It's from the Bible. Do you have a Bible? Would you like a Bible? And some of them will say, well, no, I've never had a Bible. And they'll take a Bible. And she said they're happy and the children are happy to get a Bible. And so it's wonderful to see things like that. I can't show you all the good news in all the nations, but I can show you just a little glimpse, a little slice of what's happening in various places where people are getting freedom to share the Word of God. I was able to, and I showed a few of you this summer when I was here for summer series, but the rest of you, this will be your first time to see this. I loved being in a high school classroom for sophomores in Budapest, getting to sit at the back of the classroom and getting to see them teaching the Bible using EEM Bibles. And I thought, just in a few short decades, look what God has done. We've gone from people praying over in the West, especially praying and combining prayers with others in other parts of the world, praying for the Iron Curtain to fall, for freedom to distribute Bibles to come. And in so many places, that has come about. But we've now come from the barbed wire barriers of atheism and the Iron Curtain to the Bible being taught in public schools in places like Budapest and other places. And so this is what God has done in just a few short years. And we praise God for that. Well, I want to take you to Acts 17. Because part of the good news takes us back to the gospel and what happened then with those people. And God is bringing it back around to where some things are happening now in the same parts of the world where he was at work in the first century. Now, Acts chapter 17, you remember some of you, if you haven't read this, you may want to read this later today, but Paul goes as a missionary, and he goes to Thessalonica and Berea, and he gets to Athens, and so you have this journey he's on. And he teaches the Word of God and about Jesus Christ in Thessaloniki, or as it's called today, Thessalonica. And he also goes to Berea, and they're more responsive there. They're eager to search the Scriptures daily and see whether this thing that he's preaching and teaching about Jesus is right or not. And then he gets to Athens, and he doesn't get a great response, but there are some people who respond and embrace Jesus Christ and the gospel at Athens. Well, some of the things said, you see, like Acts 17, Luke records in verse 21, now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. Now, here's the thing that I key in on, that there were a lot of foreigners passing through and living in Athens at that time. Guess what is happening today? Oh, there's a lot of foreigners passing through and settling in Athens today. Foreigners from all kinds of places. And what they're doing is they're learning to seek the unknown God. He is the unknown God for people today, just as he was then. And maybe a little different, they had an idol to the unknown God in Acts 17 in Athens at that time. Well, today there are still people who don't know that God, but they know there's this God that they need to know. And Paul said, God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted portions, periods, and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, that they should reach out for God. They should perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he's actually not far from each one of us. This is the God Paul wanted people to know. And so he preached this gospel. Well, in that same part of the world, the good news is that there are people getting that good news in Athens today. And so I saw this, and I love seeing this story of Hellenic Ministries. I got to tour their facilities 2 years ago and meet Leonid, who's standing on the stage in the far right there. He's a Ukrainian, by the way. He came years ago to Athens himself, and I saw him leading singing at Glyphada Church of Christ when I was there in Athens 2 years ago, and was glad to see that God had helped this Ukrainian who had come there come to know him. Now he's helping other people come to know that unknown God there in Athens. Iranians, people from Afghanistan, Syria, Ukraine, Greeks, they come there and they get a meal, they get a blessing, they get our materials from EEM. This is Olga. She's a Ukrainian refugee, and she said this. She came there. She said, I had lost hope because of a serious health issue until I discovered who God really is here. You hear that? That unknown God. She had to come there to Athens to get to know the true and living God. But she said, I came to know who God really is here. In a few days, I will undergo a surgery, but I'm not afraid anymore. My heart is so full of peace because I know that He will sustain me. She has started down that path. She is getting to know the true God, and it's giving her hope and peace. Well, there are people who have come there as refugees. They've lost everything, and they wanted this last summer to have a place for these children especially, but also the families, to just get away and be in a beautiful place. So they took them to this camp in Porto Astro, Greece. Beautiful place. And they had a camp where they could get things they needed. They did give them our materials at this camp. And they were able to have fun with each other, have some fellowship. They had things for children to do at this camp. And at the end of the camp, five people were baptized. And what struck me is, this is in the same part of the world where the gospel was preached by the first missionaries who were going out into that part of the world, going into all the world and taking the gospel. And now the old is new again because they are going to those same places and the gospel is being preached. And people, men and women, are being baptized into Christ as they come to learn the gospel. And so, like cold water to a thirsty soul, this is good news from a far country. And that's the rest of the story on that picture. And there are so many pictures that I don't have. I haven't seen them. I don't know if anyone's taken them. But I do see pictures on a regular basis. I'm just telling you, I don't see them all. I don't get to see them all. But the ones I do see and the ones I do get to share are so encouraging to me. And it is so much good news. Mason, I was just thinking about that news, how you shut off the news for a week. You know, the last time I heard about Belarus in the news really prominently was a few weeks ago when I think Poland was having to scramble jets because Belarus, there had been some jets come from Belarus and come into Polish airspace, and it was a big deal, and it was terrible. It was bad. But the recent news I heard from Belarus, I saw a video of a 92-year-old man baptized into Christ in a river in a white robe. Had two people with a white robe helping him in the river. You know, he had gotten a Bible 5 or 6 months before that, maybe 7 months. I can't remember. It was like 5 or 6 months. And he, now listen, he's 92. But he's not rushing into that water. He's studying the Bible on a weekly basis. And then he decides, Jesus Christ is Lord. I need to get in the water. And so they get him in the water. I saw the video of him being baptized. And that, you know, that same week I read about Belarus, a camp that these people said, we're going to try to invite as many kids to camp this year from non-believing families as possible. They got 1,300 kids to camp this summer. And I don't know how many of those from non-believing families. But they said that many of the people from the non-believing families, the children who got Bibles, they said it was the first Bible they'd ever had. And there was one week of camp that was for kids with cancer. And some of the parents came with their kids to this camp. And two families after that camp started attending the church. They said it was the first Bible they'd ever had in their lives. And they started studying. They're still studying. They haven't been baptized yet. But the report that I read a few weeks ago signed off with, please pray, as we are, basically, would you join us in prayer that they will soon be baptized and be part of our church family. And so that's the good news in the midst of all the other news that you can get on the Google News and other news sources. And so I know my time is at an end here. But I want to let you know this good news isn't just for, as I said earlier, someone else somewhere else. It's for me. It's for you. And if you need to respond to God today, this true and living God who really does send His Word so that it might accomplish in you what He desires, achieve the purpose in you for which He sent it. If you want to respond to God in baptism yourself today, or if you need prayer today, this church will all pray with you and for you if you'll just let us know what your need is, if you'll come while we stand and while we sing.